Y'all better not come to my studio with that fake shit. Y'all better not come to my funeral with that fake shit. Y'all better off realizing there's nothing that y'all could do with me. All I ever ask is keep it 8 more than 92 with me. 100.
What up, though? iHeartMeeKo podcast, November 20th, bitches. It's Victory Monday on you fuck niggas. That's right, baby. We won 2 in a row. And yes, I'm a fucking brag. I don't give a fuck if we 4 or 6, nigga. We won 2 in a row. So I'm lit. We low key, high key, kick the Dolphins' ass. Shout out to Matt Moore for coming in and putting a cape on and almost trying to snatch it from us. But you know, if Cutler would have played the whole game, we'd have mopped that ass. But shout out to the Bucks. I'm proud of you guys. Shout out to our defense, man. Y'all, these last 2 games, y'all looking familiar now. Y'all looking real motherfucking familiar. And shout out my boo. Just, baby. 2 passes the whole game. That's all I'm going to say to the Dolphins fans. 2 passes the whole game, my nigga. So if that don't say respect with a K, okay, respect, I don't know what the fuck does. So if he was washed in 2015 and he was too old and needed to take a pay cut, how come when he brought his 2 years older, washed, old ass into the Hard Rock Stadium, didn't y'all prove to your fans that he's washed? Why y'all didn't throw the ball over there by him more? Y'all thought that you would throw it somewhere else and not get picks? Ha! Rob McClain got that ass. Justin Evans got that ass. Quan got that ass. We was in y'all ass, my nigga. And I need to let my fucking defense know I appreciate y'all. No shade to the offense. I love y'all too, but you know I'm a defensive wife, so I always got to hype up the defense and tell them how proud I am of them, because defense is way harder than offense, nigga. Everybody knows that. The game is rigged for the offense to be successful, and the defense is put in a hole. So anytime the defense does something great, that is a celebration. People want to always hit me up and be like, oh, so-and-so caught a touchdown pass in your man. So-and-so caught a 20-yard pass in your man. They supposed to, you dumb fuck. The quarterback was just in a huddle telling him, okay, this is what you're going to do to trick this nigga. You're going to do this and you're going to do this. And the refs tell them you can't touch him after 5 yards. So they supposed to catch the ball. Why y'all celebrate basic-ass catches all the time? An interception and a pass deflection is something that should be celebrated. So my nigga got 2 passes his way. One of them he deflected. The other one was an offensive PI. We won. We won. We motherfucking won. End of story. Okay? Now, the good part about all this is I got to see a whole bunch of friends that I call family here in Miami. I'm still here. Broward County. I still own this motherfucking county. Don't y'all ever get it fucked up. But I got to see a lot of friends. I got to tailgate in my same little section that I always tailgate with my homie Todd and his whole crew. I got to see Tina. I just got to see everybody, hang out with my friends, and I got to stay at my condo, go see my house, go see some other friends. It was like a really, it was almost like how when everybody goes home for Thanksgiving for a few days and get to see their family, because, you know, athletes don't get holidays off. So everybody's getting ready for Thanksgiving this week. We getting ready for the Falcons, okay? We going to be in Tampa doing the same thing we always do on Thursdays. It ain't no fucking Thanksgiving. And even if he wasn't in the NFL, I wouldn't celebrate this bullshit-ass holiday. It's bullshit. What we gonna do is what we always do. We gonna feed the homeless. We gonna educate our son on what this holiday actually means. And you know what else? I cannot wait to get back to school, because Columbus Day had came and went, and I was asking Aiden, did his teacher say anything about Columbus Day, and did he say blah, blah, blah? He was like, nah, she didn't say nothing. But apparently, Friday, she said that to them, that Christopher Columbus discovered America. So when I get back from this Thanksgiving break, I will be coming up to his school to let his teacher know to stop telling my son lies. Don't tell my son some shit he can Google. My son can read now. My son can get on the Google and type some shit in. He can type Christopher Columbus, and he can put this shit together now. He can read. That nigga didn't discover America. He was not the first person here. Okay? Stop it. Stop with these fake-ass holidays. Like, I get it. It's really about getting family together. Guess what? If you need a holiday to get your family together, then cool. Celebrate Thanksgiving if that's what you need to do. I don't need no holiday to get my family together, especially one that actually tortured the people that discovered this country. Why are we not talking about the real Thanksgiving? But it's cool. It's all cool. We're going to just let everybody do what they do and celebrate and act like it's all good, and it's really fucked up because look how they still treating the indigenous people. I found out that Dakota, what is that shit? That area where they was trying to stop the pipeline. That's what it is, the pipeline from going up in the Keystone pipelines. Well, guess what, y'all? 210,000 gallons of oil just leaked in South Dakota. And guess what the officials say? Oh, well, it's not going to hurt anybody. We're going to make sure that everybody's okay. Bullshit. These niggas ran two planes into the World Trade Center. You really believe them? Niggas out here committing genocide on our own people, flying planes into buildings, faking like it's terrorists, and you believe that this 210,000 gallons of oil leaked on these people's land and nobody's going to be affected? I don't believe that shit at all. I think it's bullshit. And it's fucked up that this is even happening. It's crazy as hell. But let me get back to some. I'm going to try to get back to something positive. Let me go back to Colin Kaepernick because I didn't give him his props for his GQ. I'm going to just call him Man of the Decade. That goes back to Martin, an episode where Martin was Man of the Decade, his little high school reunion or whatever. But people were upset because J.J. Watt didn't get the award because he raised $37 million. Well, guess what? Colin gave his own money, you bitch-ass nigga. Colin is going into the urban community and educating black people. Colin has a hive now. Okay? J.J. Watt did get people like Colin, other athletes, to donate millions of dollars. Yes, he did. Good job. The next time we need somebody to raise some money, we'll call him. The next time we need somebody to put their own money in, we'll call Colin Kaepernick, okay? And the best part about the entire article was that my nigga said, I only want black designers. That really made the white people mad. You know why? Because this is what they do to us. This is how they play us. Anytime you bring up police brutality or the fact that, you know, the prison population, the prison system is propped up by black bodies, black and brown bodies, people be like, well, if black people actually loved each other and actually looked out for each other and cared for each other and didn't kill each other, maybe the urban community wouldn't be as bad as it is. And then you see this black man saying, I want to grace the cover of GQ in a black designer. And now it's, well, why does he have to be black? Didn't y'all want us to help each other out? Didn't y'all say prop each other up? Didn't y'all say support each other? This is what he's doing. But y'all don't really want that. Y'all just saying that shit because it sound good, because it's an excuse to cover up your racism. But it's okay. Shout out to Colin. I support you. I love you. I appreciate you. And I'm here for you, my nigga. Anytime you got a problem, just DM me, dog. I will get on these niggas' heads. Because I know you like to take the high road. You're one of those high road guys, and I love that about you. Well, when they go low on me, I'm going lower. That's what I'm doing. I'm tired of this. If my fucking president, that nigga's not my president. Fuck that. That nigga's not my president. If y'all president can tweet shit like this, now that the three basketball players are out of China and saved from years in jail, LeVar Ball, the father of LiAngelo, is unaccepting of what I did for his son, and that shoplifting is no big deal. I should have left them in jail. That's what y'all president tweeted. Your president tweeted that, and you want me to take the high road? You want me to not cuss you bitch-ass niggas out every time I get an opportunity? No. As long as he acting a monkey, guess what, nigga? Give me a fucking monkey costume because I'm going to act a monkey right along with him. I'm going to turn up whenever the fuck I feel like it. I'm going to be whoever I want to be because since our president is clearly proving to all of us that you don't have to be anything proper. You don't have to be anything right. You don't have to be anything good. You could just say whatever the fuck you want to say. You could talk about grabbing pussies. You could talk about kissing girls, forcing them to kiss you, and they just let you because you're a star. All this dumb shit. But all of a sudden, if I say some shit, and now it's, oh, my God, she's so horrible. Shut the fuck up. Shout out to my nigga Colin. Shout out to my niece Jaleesa. It was her birthday yesterday. Happy birthday. That is my assistant, for those of you that don't know. Her name is Jaleesa, and her birthday was yesterday, so I wanted to shout her out as well. And I think I'm out of shout-outs. I think I'm good. I think I'm okay. So let me just go on and get on into this. Of course, I'm going to have my homie Omar Kelly come in. We got to recap this because he told me last week that the Dolphins was a better team on offense and defense than the Bucks, and that they was going to beat us. He said there was no way we was going to beat them. And we almost stomped their ass till Matt Moore came in. So I have to call Omar and allow him to explain himself and see if he has a different view of my Bucks now and see what he thinks about the Dolphins. And then I also want to ask him what he thinks about both teams since we're both kind of circling the drain, like he said last week. I want to hear what he thinks at the end of the season, who is going to actually go down the drain. Are we both going down the drain? Who's going to have a better record? I'm just going to ask him all the little fun Dolphin questions that I always wanted to ask him. And then after Omar, of course, I got my boy Raider Bounty. He's going to come on. And we gonna continue this Raider Nation hate. We're gonna continue to shit on these fake ass, weak ass Raider Nation fans that really ain't even no fans. Y'all fan base is already done. The OGs of that fan base don't even claim it no more because everybody knows your fucking owner sent the team to fucking Las Vegas, okay? Like, that don't even make no sense. Now, you motherfuckers in Oakland gotta take a drive or a flight to see y'all team. That means they don't care about you, okay? But you gonna just hold up the shield. You just gonna keep buying your little $6 hot dogs and your $10 beer and your $200 jersey, getting fucked in your ass with no Vaseline by a billionaire. But you wanna still be on my fucking mentions and talking shit to players and all this dumb shit that y'all doing. Get the fuck out of here. We gonna have Raider Bounty on. He gonna air some shit out. We gonna have a good time. And that's it. No basketball talk today. I apologize for my basketball listeners. I got y'all next week. I might even do another episode later on this week because the Cavs is balling, bitch ass nigga. Y'all thought. Just playing. I'm just happy that both of my teams is actually winning right now. The Cavs and the Bucks are winning. And y'all know who my real team is, the Rams. We did lose to Minnesota. That game was awful. So awful. But guess what? They still doing good. I'm still a fan. I'm still repping. I'm still hoping that they make the playoffs so I can go to a playoff game. But anyway, let me get Omar on here so we can talk about this Dolphins game, get Raider Bounty on, talk about some more shit. Oh, me and Raider Bounty are going to ask her a couple iHeart Miko questions as well and talk about Tyrod Taylor. We're going to talk about Jerry Jones, talk about Ezekiel Elliott. Oh, we're just going to have a good old time, y'all. So just grab you some popcorn, baby. This is going to be a good one.
Yo.
Omar.
How are you?
Good. I missed you.
Yeah, I missed you, too.
You didn't come to the tailgate or nothing.
Listen, you know, that was just a regular Sunday for me until people in the media said your name in the booth before the game. And I was like, holy crap, Nico's here.
You completely forgot, huh?
I heard your name more than I heard Brent Grimes' name, as usual.
What was they talking about? Anything cool? Or just weak nigga shit?
No, disrespectful. Yeah, weak nigga shit. Just some disrespectful stuff. And, you know, they thought the first interception, the player was Brent Grimes because we're so far from the spot. And they were just like, then they was all scared and talking shit. All kinds of stuff, but you know, ended up being 21, not Brent. But
yeah,
you know, it is what it is.
You know, I told you they wasn't gonna give him no. They got him two balls. One was an OPI, and one was a pass deflection.
Yeah,
So it was kind of what we expected, actually. I thought they weren't going to give him the shot, so.
Exactly. Here's the thing, and this is how I always view it. You know, to me, the ultimate sign of respect is how much do you go after a cornerback?
Right.
And, you know, the right approach for me, I even made it one of my keys, is just stay away from Brent Grimes because he wanted that action.
He wanted it bad. He wanted that action so bad. He was like, and then when Matt Moore checked in, I just knew he was going to, you know, gunsling with Brent. I thought they was going to go at it, but he was not fucking with him either.
Yeah.
So I was like, damn, it's all good. That is a sign of respect. That right there tells me that the Dolphins know they fucked up. They know. They know what it is.
Well, here's my thought process on the whole thing. I mean, from the beginning, you know where I stood because we talked during the whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. You can't sit there and disrespect the man and tell me he need to take a pay cut just because you bad at math and you don't want to honor the deal. You know, this is the NFL, but they do it all the time. But then how do you take on a worse deal for a lesser player, which is what they did with Byron Maxwell? What sense does that make? And now, okay, you pass up, you cut Byron Maxwell, pay him $5 million to go away for the second half of the season, which, you know, what sense does that make? And then the two young cornerbacks that are playing, they're okay, but let's not pretend like the Dolphins don't have the second worst secondary in the entire NFL, 104 quarterback rating for opposing quarterbacks. Only team worse is the Oakland Raiders, which clearly has to rebuild their entire secondary.
Right.
So if you have the second worst secondary in the NFL and the only team that's worse than you have to rebuild their entire secondary, what does that mean about your secondary?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what that means. And, you know, what was offensive to me is all these fans, they're still tweeting me saying, I don't know if his name's Tran something X and
Xavier Howard and Cordrea Tankersley.
Tank. Yeah, they're like Tank and X are better than Brent already and they're young. And I was like, what?
Oh, my God. Nobody's even said that. Nobody's even said that's even worth mentioning. Like,
yeah,
their
it's
career,
just jokes. It's jokes.
I highly doubt, and no disrespect to either one
right,
of them.
Right, correct.
They're young. They got talent. They're young. Will I say any of them will be Vontae Davis or Sean Smith? No, I probably won't. And Vontae Davis and Sean Smith can't even hold a jock strap for Brent Grimes. So, come on, let's be real about it here.
I just say y'all just mad. Y'all butthurt. I get it. Move on. You know, and they were like, you know, all season talking shit to me about the Dolphins having a better record winning. And now we're both 4-6. Now what? Everybody's quiet now. My mentions are quiet. Dolphins fans ain't said a fucking thing after that game. Nothing. Not a word.
Yeah. I mean, the season is circling the drain, and, you know, you're at the point where you're trying to figure out how can I get this thing to flush and just, you know,
just go. Put me out of my misery.
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
Yeah.
I thought it was really interesting to see that Jay Cutler will probably be the starter next week, considering Matt Moore came in again, put his cape on, tried to play Captain Save-A-Hole. Look how he was balling. Look at that. Matt Moore is
Let it go.
I'm just saying, they just wasted $10 million. They would have probably had the same record, if not better, if they would have just let Matt Moore play.
Let it go.
Just let it go.
And, you know, Matt Moore has let it go. He's trying to catch that backup check, baby.
He's smart.
He trying to get that next year, that another re-up. He trying to get his fourth re-up. He ain't even trying to stress it. He's like, start against the Patriots? Nah, come on, Jay. How the hell do it? You feel all right?
Yeah.
Like, you know,
Did you see what his wife posted?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so she posted a picture of her feet up on an ottoman in the family section, and she said, I'm so sick of this football shit. I wish I could really just air it out and tell y'all every fucking thing, but I can't. So no sense in complaining. That's what she wrote.
Wow.
And And I tweeted her and I said, come on to the iHeart Miko podcast. You know we live in the same condo, right?
She don't live there.
I run into Jay. I run into him on the elevator. It's a little awkward, but it's never been nothing disrespectful. But if I would have ran, I was hoping I ran into her on the elevator coming back from the game. I was like, oh, please let me see this girl. I would love to be like, girl, come, you smoke weed? Come hit this blunt real quick and turn this mic on. She seemed like she cool based on that Snapchat, that video. I was like, oh, she probably got some shit to say.
Listen, your man got broken ribs. He got a concussion. You know, you forced him to get that, come back to the league to get that $10 million check. It, you know.
And now he got to play for it.
No, he don't have to play for it.
Well, why is he just saying, I'm not going to play?
Pride, the competitor in him. I know it doesn't, like, impact everybody, but, you know.
Think this is all pride. This is just Jay Cutler's pride. Like, I'm not, because I feel like if he quit, I think it's more if he's not going to quit, because then he's going to be like, everybody's going to be like, see, we told you he didn't want to play. We told you he was just coming to take the money, and he probably don't want that on his resume.
If he's Jay Cutler, I don't care. Jay, I don't care Cutler. Like, people have, and this is what I've learned from the beginning of the season, and I'm real disappointed in myself because a lot of people who warned me were right.
About what?
He just doesn't care.
Yeah, it looks like it when he plays, but that's what I'm saying. Why does he keep coming back with a concussion and a rib? You could fake that out for
$10
million. But I mean, is it guaranteed?
Yeah, you're right. Yes, it's guaranteed.
Yeah, he could fake that out.
Yes, there is.
He could be like, "Yo, this shit hurting too much. I gotta sit down. Y'all need to play."
I know. I heard that too. Your nemesis Channing Crowder said that on radio. He was just like, he need to be like, "It's a. I got a headache. I can't see. Ooh, my eyes so sensitive to light."
Yeah, because like, they can't even test that for real. Like, you could fake that concussion shit for a couple weeks now. I already know that. I've seen some players milk that concussion shit. Let me tell you.
Listen. I would think that would be a smart route, because I certainly don't want to play against the Patriots. Who want to take
God.
That?
That's what I'm saying. Like, they already saying he gonna play, and I bet he probably like, wait a minute, I ain't even went through protocol yet. Hold on, the jury is still out on this.
Yeah, he and the sad thing is, he might not practice all week, and I swear to God, if he passes concussion test, protocol test, out the program on Saturday, Adam Gase will start him on Sunday.
He sure that's will.
That's just the arrogance and the insistence. I mean, or he might say, yeah, let me start Matt Moore against the Ravens, against the Patriots, and let y'all see this ass whooping. Like y'all saw against the Ravens, and silence all this criticism about me and my decisions and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and my hope in that, if that's the case, then, you know, Matt, you know, I wrote a column after the game, you know, basically saying Gase does not like Matt Moore. Just don't even sit there and it's clear. So, don't even get your hopes up. Don't even think about it. And I was basically, Matt Moore deserves more. He really, really deserves a fair chance and a fair shot. He'll never get one with Gase. So, you know, stop getting all excited about it. Matt's trying to catch that backup check.
Right. So let me get your opinion on the Bucks. You know, I'm not allowed to analyze them, but I want to know what you thought when you saw them.
Ryan Fitzpatrick pulled his Ryan Fitzpatrick, which is he'll be good for one game, he'll be bad for another. So you got him with the Dolphins on a good game. I like their weaponry. I think that they've got a lot of potential in the weaponry department if they can get consistent quarterback play, which I'm not sure that they're going to get this season or the next season. Mm-hmm. I think the pieces on the offensive line probably need to be fortified just a little bit, but I think it's a decent offensive line that you can work with. And then I really like the defense.
I told you we had a good defense. Didn't I tell you? Remember
yeah.
You was arguing with me, and I said, ain't no way the Dolphins nowhere close to our defense is dope.
I think the safeties probably need a little bit of work.
Okay.
But I mean, I don't know if Brent Grimes going to play. And the cornerback, obviously, one of the Hargraves kids wasn't playing, so I don't know what he looks like.
Hamstring, yeah.
Yeah, but the other dudes is okay. They just all right. But the linebackers, defensive line, I think you got, you know, Gerald McCoy. He's better than Dominican Sue in my mind because I saw him take over.
Let me tell you, yes.
I saw him take over the game and own the right guard. Now, obviously, Jermaine Bushrod is really nothing to write home about, but he took over the game, and I really can't tell you a game that I've covered that Ndamukong Suh has taken over the game. I think he's been impactful, but you wasn't doing shit with Gerald McCoy. You wasn't running at him. I can run. You run it, Ndamukong Suh. So I think there are good pieces on defense, but are the Bucs a 9-win team? Nah, probably not. They're about 500 team, and. Okay. You know, obviously they got to address the kicking situation a little bit more. They're an incomplete team, and just like I think the Dolphins are, I really don't think there's anything. You have weapons on defense, but how creative are your calls? And I really just didn't see anything that was challenging Miami. And keep in mind, Miami's the second worst offense in the NFL.
Yeah, I wish I could comment.
Yeah, like, you know, just to set you up, but, you know, Miami hasn't had three big passing plays all year, mm-hmm. and they got three against the Bucks. How does that happen?
That's interesting.
Dolphins Dolphins have not had three passing plays over 40 yards all season. They got three against the Bucks.
Got three.
And, you know, they have four big plays against the Bucks. So four plays contributed 200 yards of offense. Like, how does that happen?
Yeah. No comment. So, which one of us has the better record at the end of the season, in your opinion? Because we both kind of circling the drain. We done put the plunger in. We kind of slowed down the process a little bit, but that doesn't mean we're out of
y'all,
the red.
Y'all gonna go back to playing them NFC teams, which know the reality is they're a little bit better than the AFC teams.
So what do you think? Who ends the year with a better record, in your opinion? And we don't have to say the number of wins. Just which team will end the year with a better record, in your opinion?
I think they'll have identical records at the end of the year, unfortunately. And if they're lucky, they'll be 500. But I really see the both teams being 7-9. I just do. Not that you're not more suited or capable of winning compared to the Dolphins, but you face
our division is tough already, and we got we got the Falcons next week, we got Green Bay the week after that, which could be a win. Got the Lions the next week at home, then we've got Carolina Panthers on the road, mm-hmm. then we got Atlanta at home, and then we've got New Orleans again. And, we got New Orleans last game of the year, the New Year's Eve game. So I think it's New Orleans, Carolina, Atlanta twice, Detroit, and Green Bay. All NFC, baby.
I think you go 500 in that stretch. So, you know, 7-9, and if the Dolphins are lucky, I think they could go 500 the rest of the way. They got the Patriots this week, and they play the Patriots twice. They got the Bills twice. If you're fortunate, you get one of that, out of that. If you're lucky, you get two. Then they play Denver, which is circling the drain as well. I'm missing a team. 4-5. Kansas City, the end of the season.
Oh, they look terrible too right now.
Wait a minute. Have they lost?
Yes, they have been not even scoring. They scored 9 points the last game, I think. Something weird going on in Kansas City, man. I don't know what the hell is going on.
Teams done figured it out.
Yeah, that Alex Smith thing. It starts off real good, but once people get that playbook, it's a wrap for him because he kind of does the same stuff all the time, and you know, he's gotten crafty with it. But these smart defensive coordinators, they're going to figure shit out on you real quick and get you up out of there.
That's why I've always said I would go with a defensive coach as my head coach, just because they're responsible for figuring out what you do and how much, how challenging it is. And those are the individuals that create the innovative offenses. And you know, they're always going to have a steady defense. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't believe in the offensive guru, the guy who coaches the quarterback whisperer. Oh, he's going to put up points. I don't believe in the Adam Gaze, the dirt cutters, the kid from the Rams. That's a head coach. I'm not a fan of those guys, just because, you know, they're just like the NFL, where offense sells tickets and offense creates all the excitement and offense that drives fantasy success. It's all flash. Give me some substance. And I'm about that substance, which is why I would take a defensive coordinator. Look at what Todd Bowles has done with the Jets. Everybody left them for dead in week three of the season. Jets weren't expected to win four games, and I believe they got four already and still six to play.
Yeah. Well, I hope you're wrong that we don't go 7-9, but you know what? I mean, we're not great.
What are you going to be? You're going to be fortunate to go 8-8? Like, you know.
I mean, we could win all of them.
The sad reality about the NFL right now is that there may be five good teams.
That's why I feel like it's anybody's game for real, because everybody kind of stinks right now.
Yep. Somebody just got to get hot. And unfortunately, nobody wants to get hot. Nobody.
Right.
I can't even name a good offensive team in the NFL that's not Patriot. I mean, in the AFC, that's not the Patriots or
Jaguars are hot a little bit.
Yeah, but I'm still not buying that. I think that's fool's gold.
It could be because it's Blake Bortles. Yeah, it's hard to bet on
Blake
him.
Bortles.
I wouldn't want to bet on the coaching staff either, honestly. Because playoff football is different than 17 weeks of football. Playoff is a whole nother monster. You know? But what was I going to say? Yo, I gotta shout out the Dolphins peoples, because let me tell you, Stu Weinstein, all those guys, they have been reaching out to me all week like, yo, what do you need? We got you. They had extra security around my tailgate, by my seats, everything. Mm-hmm. They was like, we want you to feel secure and safe. Like, we still fuck with you. Like that shit is over with. And so I couldn't do nothing but be happy that they embraced me the way that they did. Like, it was a really cool experience. Like, a really cool welcome back. You know, we got the win, too. I wish my man had got an interception. He would have intercepted that one in the end zone, that OPI. He would have picked that one off, but that big ass number 80 slammed him so hard. But it was what'd you say?
I'm laughing. I still haven't seen that replay.
Oh, I'm gonna send you the video. I was recording it from my phone. I actually had it on Snapchat, and I stopped recording once it happened because I started yelling like, "What the? Where's the flag?" Because I didn't see the flag, and it was there already. And I was like, "Oh, okay, cool." But yeah, but it was a good coming home. It was cool. The atmosphere was great. The tailgate was popping. It was a good time. Only bad part is I didn't get to see you. We didn't get to get no hang, no chill. So I guess I'm probably going to see you in 2018.
Yeah, you're still here, but yeah. 2018, I forgot. You got to travel for Christmas. I mean, you got to travel and all that stuff. Yeah,
I got to go to all the other games, and so I'm struggling getting a ticket to Green Bay. There's no flights going into Green
Girl.
Bay.
Oh, my God. You don't want to do that.
I have to. I got to have one game in Lambeau. Like, I've never been to Lambeau, and I got to go.
Oh, God. Please.
I
got
to go.
It is the worst.
It's
going to
be
the worst of the worst.
It's going to be December 3rd. Oh, my God. I hope it's blizzards. I hope it's a blizzard.
If you think Buffalo is bad, oh.
I want it to be a blizzard. I told Brent, like, probably before we even got married, I said, whenever I go to Lambeau, I want it to be a blizzard. I told him this, like, before we were even married. So when the schedule came out last year, he saw that we were playing them December 3rd. He goes, I think you might get your wish. I was like, oh, shit. If it blizzards there, I'm going to be losing my mind. I got all my gear. I'm ready for the frozen shit.
I, I will say nobody tailgates like the Green Bay Packers. And that's true. And it's a great little, I mean, think about it. That's all that community got, man.
Yeah.
That's all they got.
Yeah.
And they put everything into it. But, God, I hate that trip. I hate every aspect of that trip.
Yeah, it's hard.
Everything.
I'm learning right now that you can't really get those flights as easy as you thought you could and everything.
Yeah, can't get those flights. You got to fly to Milwaukee.
Chicago,
drive.
Detroit. Yeah, it's crazy.
Probably stay in Appleton. And girl, you better get your hotel room now. I forgot you stay with the team. Yeah, I forgot
so
about
all
that.
All I need is my damn flight, my travel agent. I talked to her today. She was like, girl, I found something, but you got to come back on Monday. You ain't coming back Sunday after the game. I was like, okay, I guess. I don't mind staying an extra day.
Girl, get out as soon as you can because you might be a blizzard and you get
There's no
stuck.
Flights. There's no flights. She was like, you ain't getting out Sunday. There's none. But what we're going to do is I'm going to book my flight because I can book it with a refund. And then every day she's going to keep checking to see if anybody canceled their flight and then grab one if she can. That's how
gotcha.
We're going to do it.
That's how rich people roll.
Yes, that is. Well, I'm going to let you go, Omar. I know it's late and you're probably
canoodling
with your boo.
She doing her hair discipline, you know, natural hair chicks. That's how they got to roll.
Oh, yeah. I'm natural right now. I don't know if you noticed. I've been natural for a while.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, I've been natural for a minute now. I'm rolling.
I noticed the glow. She right. I'm seeing the mirror right now trying to get her baby hair on fleek.
Hey, it's a struggle. It's a struggle for all of us trying to be natural women. I go back and forth between the weave and the natural.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I'm going to holler at you later, and I'm going to see you in 2018 unless for some reason I get to come back down here and have some type of turn up or something. I don't know.
Let me know.
For sure.
All right. I'll let you.
Okay. Peace. Shout out Omar Kelly for joining me, my ex-husband, my radio ex-husband, always bringing the tea. That was him talking about the Bucks, not me. I was just sitting here listening. I have no comment on anything. Stacey Chambers just walked in, you guys, with this cute little ponytail. But anyways, let me continue my podcast and everything I got to do. And let me get to my next caller. I know last week I was supposed to have Raider Bounty on, and he was moving and transitioning to a new home and new baby and all the stuff. So he promised me this week he was going to come on and we was going to get Raider Nation together and he was going to drop some more bombs on the organization. So let me get him on now so we can continue what we started October 9th and continue to shit on these fake ass Raider Nation fans. What up?
Nothing. How's it? It's been a quiet last couple weeks.
Super quiet, because that's what I was trying to explain to people on social media when these Raider Bounty people were coming at me, and then I see all these tweets and comments of them saying they owned me, they made me shut down my Twitter. Listen, I put my Twitter on private for like 6 hours, and they were gone when I came back.
That's what they call owning
me? Oh, my God. What a bunch of fucking losers. I never seen so many people with 20 and 30 fans saying that they're a part of Raider Nation. Like, how did that happen?
At the end of the day, you're still you, and I get the same comments as you do that, oh, they own me, this, that, and the other. I'm still sitting here in $800 shoes driving a Benz. At the end of the day,
none of that changed. You know? Guess where I am? I'm live from my penthouse on Fort Lauderdale Beach recording.
Right.
Nothing's changed.
So, as they like to say, scoreboard.
Scoreboard. Check the fucking scoreboard. You're still losing. I'm winning. And I'm having a good time. Like, I really had no idea that what I said was going to get the backlash that it got. Like, that was on my podcast over a month ago. And people were saying that I'm trying to use it as 15 minutes of fame. First of all, I would have posted, like, audio or, you know, way more stuff to get people's attention a month ago if that was the goal, right?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, though. It's two local radio stations backed up what was said. And a national radio show.
Yeah.
you know, it got sensationalized. There was some head, and all that did was bring more attention to you. So
yeah,
again, you won.
I won.
You won at the end of the day.
I totally fucking won. And I was so mad that people thought it was my information. Like, how shocked was I when you even said it to me? I was like, you're fucking lying. Are you? And then I was excited. I thought, I was like, well, if that's true, I'm glad somebody did. Somebody did something I would have done. And people are like, you're a horrible person. You're okay with somebody getting hurt. I don't care about a racist. I really don't. Do I want them to die? Some of them, yeah, I do. But if they got fucked up, I would applaud it. If you're a racist, if you're a piece of shit, if you're doing some of the things that he's been alleged of doing, I don't care. I really don't. And that's me being true to, like, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and act like I wouldn't be okay with, like, I wouldn't clap it up. Just like they clap it up when somebody gets injured, when their players on their team goes and hits somebody in the knee or something or fucks them up real bad, he gets concussion, they clap.
Or how about everybody clapping up Derek Carr's response to you?
Yeah.
Which wasn't his response. It was the stupid Bible verse of the day that he was quoting from some other Twitter account that he does every single day. And just by coincidence, it happened to be the day your shit went viral. And dude, was the media accurate about his supposed clapback? No, they didn't care. They twisted things and they ran with it, and they tried to make a beef that wasn't actually there.
Right.
You know, that's the funny thing about all this is journalism versus entertainment. Breakfast Club is basically black shock jock radio.
Yes.
It's no different than Howard Stern.
Yes.
If you can take the goggles off and just look at life from an open perspective, which most people can't, if you don't have a problem with Howard Stern, you don't have a problem with Breakfast Club. At their core, they're the same damn thing. Right. It ain't CNN. It ain't Fox News. It ain't something that's claiming, you know, every once in a while, Charlemagne, he'll come at somebody and say some really deep stuff and mm-hmm. props to him for that. But most of the time, they're trying to be entertaining, yeah. You know, and it's a different standard. It's why comedians can get away with certain same jokes that are touchy subjects.
Yeah, race jokes, you know, the N-word and all this stuff. That's why I said I wanted to put comedian on my bio. So that way I can get away with whatever. I can say whatever I want. And I can be like, look,
right.
Comedian, bio. See that?
we ain't doing Breakfast Club ain't doing a documentary.
Right.
You know, now your show, this show that we're doing right now, it is a little more real. It is a little less entertaining. We touch on some pretty heavy topics. And again, if anybody has a problem with what they think we were saying, go listen to the podcast.
Yeah, that's why I posted the link.
Find one inaccurate thing that we said. And then back up and wonder why you're more mad at Nico or more mad at me when you've been lied to your whole life by CNN, Fox News, and all these politicians you support.
Yeah.
Like, these people get more upset over a football. They're more loyal to these football players than they are to their own damn wives.
And their kids. That's why I was saying, you guys are buying all these season tickets, jerseys, hot dogs, beer, and your kids have no trust fund. You can barely make rent every month because you're trying to prop up a billionaire.
I mean, just think about it. A guy sitting there at a table at a restaurant with his wife, a hot chick walks by, every single guy, I don't care who they are, they look at that girl, and for a moment they imagine what would it be like to fuck her.
Yep.
Okay? But America is so brainwashed. This is how heavy the NFL has got their hooks into them, that they couldn't even fathom the idea of being critical of their own football team. They'll literally have a mental fascination about cheating on their wife, but the fact that somebody can say something honest that's critical of a football team that don't give a fuck about them, that's moving to Vegas, will set them on fire.
Like, I'm like, America, ready to fight me.
Yeah, exactly. You got your priorities way, way fucking off.
Yeah. Way off is so crazy. So let's backtrack into that entire interview. People were saying that it wasn't true. There was no truth to it. I feel like the things that you told me and the stuff we talked about off the air, I believe it's true. Have you found any more information that can back up the statement or the allegations?
I've done a little bit of digging, a little circumstantial evidence and stuff like that. But basically what we said was confirmed by Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio. He's about as big a radio host as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
The flagship station of the Raiders, Greg Papa confirmed what we said, that he's a Raiders employee, right? Mm-hmm. And then the original people that broke the story, that radio show out of Sacramento.
Right.
They were the original ones that
broke it. Someone, they hit me up and said, they said, why didn't you give us our props? I said, I retweeted the YouTube link as soon as I saw it. Because I didn't know who was the first person to report it. It was them. And then me, I guess. I was like a few weeks later or something, but I gave them the props.
It was weeks old when I was talking to you about it. We were just basically shooting the shit about what a disaster the Raiders had become. Mm-hmm. And it was old news then. And then 4 weeks later, you're on the Breakfast Club, and then all of a sudden it blows up. I mean, it was literally almost 2 months after it was a story.
Yeah.
You know, and it was only really a story in the Bay Area, and it got squashed really quick because all the local media people there are hacks, and they were shilling for the team. There are players that have a serious issue with their car. And you know what? Like, as far as his or the team's politics are concerned, those aren't even debatable. You just go to Jack Del Rio's Twitter account, all right, and you go look at his likes, what he puts a star heart next to or star next to or whatever it is these days.
And what are those things he's liking?
It's a bunch of Fox News stuff. It's a bunch of Trump stuff, okay? Mm-hmm. Go to Derek Carr's family, more right-wing, conservative, anti-transgender stuff, retweeting Tommy Lahren, crap like that.
Yeah.
All right? You're going to tell me that the general manager of the Raiders is a religious nut, right-wing conservative. The head coach is. Carr's entire family is. But Carr's not.
No,
I don't have to find any more evidence. And here's a real key indicator. You know when somebody doesn't like Trump. You know
it's
it doesn't
clear.
Mean they like Hillary.
Yeah.
They're very, very vocal about it.
Yes. They don't want their name or anything attached to them. They want everybody to know they don't fuck with Trump.
They distance themselves from it.
Yes.
And then you got people on the other end that support him, and they're very vocal about it. And then you got the silent people. They support him, but they don't want to say it because it could hurt their brand.
Right. Because they don't want people to know that they support that man regardless, and because it has a lot to me to do with race or maybe, you know, color, you know, all of that.
Right. So I don't think there's not a stretch here. I got a lot of DMs from people, even people that I'm friends with. They're like, how the hell do you know he voted Trump? Da, 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 da. There's enough smoke here. If it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, he voted Trump. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. His whole family did. They're retweeting stuff. They're favoring stuff. I don't see them with any sort of liberal viewpoints. I mean, they're a hardcore conservative.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell me he's the black sheep of the family?
He's okay, the one then lone wolf.
Then why didn't he kneel? It wouldn't be an issue. But here's the thing. He's not going to turn on his family and his core beliefs for his football team, the people that are protecting his backside.
Right.
That's it, you know, and they have had discussions about it, and he's trying to understand, and they're going back and forth. There's a lot of political talk in that locker room, you know,
right.
But at the end of the day, we're not talking logic. You're not going to logically get the Carr family or Derek Carr to think that the sun doesn't orbit the earth. This is the same mentality that thought the earth was flat and argued it for hundreds of years. They refused to believe. We talked about this in the last podcast. They're not rooted in logic. So you're not going to logically argue them out. This is ideology. These are belief systems. If somebody just believes racism doesn't exist and everybody just needs to be nicer to the cops and they won't have a problem, there's no amount of evidence you're going to show them.
Yeah.
You can't change that.
Yeah,
it's just a belief system.
Yeah.
And you and I caught some criticism from some other news outlets saying that we were calling for segregation. And we weren't calling for segregation. I want to live with a mix of people. I just don't want I don't want to live with people that think racism doesn't exist or that think it's okay. It's not like I want black people to live on one side of the country and white people to live on the other. That's what segregation means. Do I want to segregate the ideologies? Fuck yeah, I do.
Yeah, the ideologies.
Go put all the racists in Alabama and Arkansas and all those states. Let them have it. And
let them build their own communities. Yeah.
Exactly. Let white people mow their lawns and do their yards. Or just let it be trailer parks like it usually is. I don't give a shit. I know I'm not going to change your fucking opinion, and I'm done trying. You just go live on your little island, and you stay the fuck out of mine. I mean, that's how the whole world is. There's things that we don't agree, you know, the Middle East looks at our culture and thinks some of the shit's bad shit crazy, and some of it is. And there's things that we look at theirs and we don't agree with. But you know what? You're over there, you live your thing, we're over here, we'll live our thing, and, you know, we'll meet in the Olympics. No big deal. You know, it's when people start pushing their shit on people that mm-hmm. it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with your wacky beliefs. Just go do it. It's somewhere not else. Working mixing everybody together. That doesn't mean we are calling for segregation.
Yeah. People want to hear what they want to hear. That's what it is. If you can have a conversation with somebody and you guys are just talking and having a natural flowing conversation, and you say, the minute you say something they don't like, they're no longer listening to hear you. They're listening to respond and to argue back with you and dispute and debate whatever it is you said, just because they heard one little thing that they didn't like. They're not even listening to the rest of it anymore. That's why I can't really entertain some of the idiots that tweet me and say things that I can tell they never listened or actually read the whole tweet or, you know, anything. And that's why I just make fun of them at that point. Like, I'm not going to entertain you with facts and knowledge when it's clear you haven't even listened to my podcast and actually know what I said. So I'm going to tweet you back and tell you to eat a dick, because I'm not giving you my energy on it. If someone actually right. listened and they disagree with me and they have some type of issue and they want to have a discussion, I absolutely discuss with them. Go back and forth. We don't have to argue. We don't have to cuss each other out. But if you have no knowledge and you're just coming from an idiotic place and saying some dumb shit, I'm going to just respond with something dumb right back to you. I'm not going to listen to you. You know, and that's what the problem is. Everybody feels like, because they have thumbs, that their opinion matters. It doesn't. It really doesn't.
Right. It's a larger problem in this whole country. They would rather be right than get it right. And mm-hmm. that's where that comes from. That's where that, I'm not going to listen to what you're saying, I'm going to think about how to respond, is because it's just about winning the argument, not getting smarter. A lot of the times getting smarter means being wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, and do you want to get it right, or do you just want to be right? Because you can smash that square peg eventually into that round hole, but it didn't fit. Yeah. You know, it's so, mm-hmm. you know, let's talk about those, the fans' reaction. We've hit on kind of the media's reaction. Yeah. But let's I got some tweets from some people, and I saw some tweets to you guys that really, really don't look well for the alleged Raider Nation. And if you know what the Raiders are about, you know what their belief system was about. I mean, we've talked about this: first black coach, first Hispanic coach, first female team president. I don't see how you can consider yourself a Raider fan and be a racist.
Be racist. It makes no sense. Like, you are fucking crazy.
It's a total contradiction. You know? Yet, I'm going to read some of these tweets.
Please
and they're fucking nuts. Here's one to you. Nothing. You're nothing but a ghetto asshole that sucked the right athlete's dick in high school. Get the fuck out of here, you joke. All right. What? At that point,
I wasn't even sucking dick in high school. I was a virgin in high school, all through high school.
That statement. I know I'm laughing about it, but that statement is so extremely loaded. Yeah. That's somebody that wants to call you the N-word without saying.
Yeah.
It.
They're not. He's too pussy to actually say nigger. He's afraid.
Yeah.
So he did everything. Right. He did a Lauren Tannehill is what I call that. Lauren Tannehill has called me every word but a nigger. She's afraid to call me a nigger, but I know she wants to.
if some white person is calling some black athlete a thug, we know what that means. If it's calling some
girl,
calling
ghetto.
A black chick a ghetto asshole, I know what that means.
Yeah.
Let's just call a spade a spade.
Yeah.
You know, and a few months later, calls me a fag, which again is another loaded derogatory term. Rooted in bigotry.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This is the Raider Nation? No, not anymore. And I got hundreds of these tweets.
It's not even the same Raider Nation. It's not the same. It's not the same people. These are some people that just jumped on this bandwagon. They have no clue what true Raider Nation stood for and what it originally started for. And the fact that it is rooted, it is deeply rooted in the urban community. Like, it is one of the urban community's teams. If there
Correct.
Is a team, it is definitely Raider Nation is one of the urban community's teams. So anything racist or derogatory, it doesn't even match.
So, right. And that, you know, that's why they got the nickname Raiders MAGA. MAGA or whatever.
Oh, God. Raiders MAGA. The racist Raiders.
Yeah. And I just renamed it. It's Bigot Nation. I mean, it's this new breed of Raider fan that thinks they're just going to come at you and make sort of, again, a lot of sexist remarks and shit like that. Do these people have daughters? Do they have wives? You know, I mean, I you can go on their accounts. You can look and see what they're like. They're watching a lot of porn on the internet, on Twitter. You know, like, I mean, it kind of seems like they like women, but the anger and the vitriol coming out, there's a lot of closet homosexuals there. And that's not a bad thing, but man, you got to be proud of who you are. Just own it. Because you can't be, when a woman says something honest about your favorite football player and you come at her with that much vitriol, you got issues, man. You got deep-seated issues with women, and you might not even know that you probably like sucking dick yourself. Like, you got to deal with that stuff, man. Like, get off Twitter, stop watching football, go get some therapy. Because the comments and the stuff coming at you, there's way deeper issues behind it.
Yeah.
You know?
And could you imagine if I was, like, weak or soft or one of those women that couldn't handle it? Like, I would probably have killed myself. But I was trying to explain to them, like, listen, I took on a billionaire. I took on an NFL team owner and the GM. You really think I'm afraid of Raider Nation?
I got some DMs from friends that were like, man, Nico's taking a beating, man. I hope she's all right. And I go, listen, both of us are DMing each other and in tears laughing.
Hollering.
She can handle her own. Don't worry.
Yeah, please don't be concerned for me.
Is she going to come out and apologize or retract her statements? I said, hell no.
Never.
Hell no. Don't worry about her. She'll be fine. It's Twitter, y'all.
It's Twitter. Like, you guys have the calm. Do you understand? They obviously don't understand my life. First of all, I'm a female and I'm black. So that right there should tell you that I've been through some shit my whole life. I've fought some shit. I've climbed some walls. I done broke some ceilings. I'm still talking about sports on my own podcast because I don't want to deal with the fucking national, you know, the national stations and everybody that wants to tell you what you can and can't say. If I was weak, I would have just stayed there where I was and got a paycheck to do it, like something I could do in my sleep. Like, you know, they don't push you to do big stories or to you know, talk about things that are controversial. They like to keep it nice and clean and don't bother their supporters and don't mess with their advertisers. And I'm not with that. I'm tough. I'm going to say exactly what the fuck I want to say. And if you got a problem with it, oh, well. I think I've apologized once on Twitter. Once. And that's because I used to use the word faggot all the time. And my gay friends were like, I don't really like that word. I go, you guys don't own faggot. That used to mean a cigarette. You know that, right? Why do you get to own that word? I said, but you know what? Because I love you guys and because you're my friends and it bothers you, I'm going to apologize and not use that anymore.
Right.
Yeah, no, it was more like that Magic Johnson comment that I made. That's really what it was all tied to. And that's why I was just like, listen, I'm not apologizing for shit. Nothing. Unless somebody personal that's attached to me gets offended by something I say, then I might. But a fan, a regular person on Twitter who I don't even know who you are, and you don't even have your private, your fucking avatar as a basketball player, a football player, so fuck you. Fuck you and your feelings, okay? Get off Twitter if you're sensitive. Because everybody can say whatever the fuck they want. If Donald Trump can tweet whatever the fuck he wants, why can't Meiko Grimes?
Right. A lot of the media is jealous of it.
Yeah, because they can't do it. They can't, and they don't got the balls.
Contrary to what a lot of the bigot nation seem to think, I've spent more time in the Raiders front office, in that corporate office, than most fans could ever dream of.
Right.
I got friends within that organization. I got friends in the media. I'm never going to name drop.
Right.
I'm never going to reveal my sources. I'm never going to even touch on some of the conversations that I've had
with
certain media members. Okay?
Yeah.
But they wish, like, the stuff they talk about behind the scenes ain't no different than the stuff you and I talk about on your podcast.
Right.
They just don't do it out public.
Yeah, they can't do it. They don't want the heat. They don't want the attention of it. They don't want the distraction. They don't want to possibly lose their job if a whole bunch of fake fans start typing in and calling and saying, so-and-so offended me, needs to be fired, like, blah, 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 this dumb shit. That's why when I tell the fans, too, I'm like, listen, I talk to so many players behind the scenes that tell me so much stuff. I would never betray their trust. I just know what I know. And that will allow me to, in my best, you know, way, get the information out to people without exposing these other people who are, you know, trust me with their confidence and tell me stuff. You know, right. And that's why it's just like, don't come to me telling me I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't usually say things that I don't have any type of proof behind it or any type of factual, you know, ways of proving it. I just can't always prove it because then I would have to reveal my source. That's how it is.
And then the irony is I'm thinking of one media member in particular in the Oakland Bay Area that was pushing the hardest to kill that story. Is one of the most foul-mouthed people you're ever going to meet. Wow. And is one of the, in person, one of the realest people you're ever going to meet. And has some gnarly shit to say. But man, can they shill like a motherfucker for their job.
They'll do it for that paycheck. I mean,
the Raiders should be paying that person a salary because they're basically a PR agent.
Maybe they're doing it behind closed doors.
You never indirectly? Know.
Yeah.
Maybe so. Because everybody that seems to be critical is doing their own podcast now. The moment, you know, so it is what it is.
Yeah. So do you want to still talk about this Raiders stuff? I mean, they got their ass kicked again. What was this, 33-8? What's up with the team? Why do they suck all of a sudden? What's going on? Are we right? Is there some issues in this locker room?
There's definite issues in the locker room. The players have completely tuned out the head coach. He's a meathead. All right. Jack Del Rio's never done shit. All right. But he's got the good hair. He's got the big jaw. He's a great interviewer. That's what got him the job. All right. But he's garbage. He's one of these meathead guys that comes in and says, I'm going to be the big swinging dick. I'm going to pick on one player and the rest of the locker room is going to respect me. That might have worked in like 1960s, 70s football. The game's too technical now. You got to be smart, you know, and
think fast. Bear Bryant,
yeah, you know, you got to relate to players. You got, you know, and they kind of see through all that bullshit. The honeymoon's over in Oakland, you know, and his act is worn thin, you know, but it kind of goes, everybody thinks that I like, hate Christianity. And listen, I don't have much respect for it at all, but that is a deep seated problem. With the Raiders, the general manager is a hardcore religious nut. He'll only draft players that align with his spiritual beliefs. He's only hiring people that do. It's not a meritocracy. The Raiders were the original meritocracy. And right now they got a guy and there's the general manager whose priorities are super backwards. I mean, Jack Del Rio never gave... All of a sudden, he's retweeting Bible verses and tweeting all this shit. You don't think that's coming down from the GM?
Yeah.
Derek Carr, hardcore Bible thumper, got the offensive coordinator last year fired because he didn't like him. And who got promoted to offensive coordinator? His church buddy, who's turned in one of the top offenses in the league into one of the worst.
Wow. And they're pissed at me.
Yeah, they're exactly. You know, and I'm not going to apologize for calling out organized religion. All right, the whole thing can kiss my ass.
All of it.
These people used to burn women at the stake because they thought they were witches. Like, think about that. Why does that just get glossed over? How the fuck does any form of organized Christianity have any credibility left when they got that on their resume? I mean, if the KKK came out, all right, tomorrow and said, you know what? We no longer hate black people. We're going to stop burning crosses. All right, we'd like to be absolved of our past bullshit and just look at our good traits. All right, we please forget we ever did any of this crazy stuff. We'd never let them off the hook.
Never.
Never. So why is Christianity let off the hook? I can give a million examples, even to this day, where they're making excuses for priests fucking little boys.
Look at this. I just read this quote from Alabama pastor Earl Wise, a Moore supporter. He said, how these gals came up with this, I don't know. They must have had some sweet dreams somewhere down the line. Plus, there are some 14-year-olds who, the way they look, could pass for 20. This is a pastor in Alabama that supports a fucking pedophile. This just happened.
Dude, like, I can't tell. I went through the Carr family tweets. I went through Jack Del Rio's tweets and what the things he was liking. They liked plenty of supportive tweets like that of this Morphalo.
Yeah.
Okay? If that is your priority, if that's where your mindset is, if that's how intelligent you're not and you're running a professional football team, that's why the Raiders getting stomped 33-8. You think Bill Belichick has time for that shit? You think he gives a rat's ass, and he's a Trump supporter, but you think that's his priority? He don't give two fucks. He just wants to play football. That's it. He doesn't. If you can play, you're going to play for him. It's the ultimate meritocracy, you know, despite what his political beliefs are. There's a lot of issues with the Raiders all the way up into the front office where they're just – it's not about football anymore. They're desperately trying to change the image of that organization in an attempt to, you know, when they go into Las Vegas, be more fan-friendly. They're turning their back. They don't want to be known as that urban team.
Mm-mm.
That team that minorities gravitated towards.
But that's why I feel like the true Raider Nation is gone. It's gone.
It is.
It's gone.
We don't watch the games anymore.
Mm-mm.
I gave up my luxury suite. It's done.
Your owner moved the team to Las Vegas, and you're mad at me?
Right. Right.
Like, it doesn't even make any sense. I'm just like, what is wrong with people? What is wrong with you? Like, get off my tits. Okay? I'm reporting the news of your team. Accept it or don't. But don't come at me crazy, because all I'm going to do is you see what I did for like a whole week straight? I said, "Good morning, fuck Raider Nation." Every morning.
Right.
Say something, bitch. You can't say, what are you mad about? That's like me getting mad at somebody that wakes up and says, "Good morning, fuck Team Grimy." I don't care. What are you mad about? I know it bothers you because that Raider Nation means more to you than life. Saying fuck Team Grimy doesn't do a fucking thing to me. Doesn't bother me. Doesn't hurt my feelings. Nothing.
And it ain't just the fans either. I mean, I know you got into a spat with one of the offensive linemen's wives.
Oh, yeah. You know, I talked to her on the phone. We actually, you know, she had said something about wanting to fight. And so I was like, okay, let's do this. I'll be in L.A. next week. And then she gave me her phone number and we called and we talked. We actually squashed it. Like, she didn't listen like everybody else. She didn't listen. She just heard that I said her husband's offensive line got the quarterback hurt. And she thought I was, I guess, personally talking about her man. And I said to her, she goes, "Look at how you respond to his tweets about you." And I said, "What's the problem?" And she said, "You went too far." There's no such thing. If your man doesn't tweet about me, I don't say a word about him. The minute he says something about me, I can. If he comes in at 4, I can come in at 10 if I want. I can do whatever I want, you know. But
and you know
she,
what?
Hmm?
If there ain't truth to what you're saying,
yeah,
he don't tweet about you.
Yeah, he wouldn't. There was only like 4 players I heard that even said something. Derek Carr was one of them, which is that was an asterisk by that one. But that's what I'm saying. Like, why is your man saying something to me? And then I said to her, she goes, "Well, it just seems like you're calling my husband a dirty player." I said, "Listen, did you even understand? Did you hear me say that I applauded it if it was true?" She was like, "No, you weren't saying it in a negative way." I said, "No, I actually wasn't." She was like, "Oh, I thought you were trying to." And I was like, "No, I don't." I said, "I don't even know your man. I don't even know you." And it doesn't bother me that he tweeted me, but you just can't get mad at what I say back. And then we were trying to call him and he wasn't picking up the phone. Like, why is he calling, you know, Bucks players to get my husband's phone number? And then when we're calling, he's not answering, but he's tweeting. And then he's retweeting all these people talking shit about me. But you're not answering the phone. So that's where I said, well, fuck it. I showed my husband that he was tweeting. I said, he obviously wants this to be on Twitter. He doesn't want it to be, you know, behind closed doors like real motherfuckers do. So let me get at him on Twitter. And he was like, "Do you?" Since he ain't picking up the phone. So I did me. But she and I, we squashed it. We understand that I have a job to do. She's got a job to do. If her husband doesn't get in the way of me doing my job, I won't tweet him at all. It's a respect thing as far as, you know, the way she talked to me as a black woman and I spoke to her as a black woman. We had an understanding that the both of us are two black women trying to support our men, and let's not, you know, get into it with each other over something that ain't that you know, is my job. I don't care if you're mad. I don't. This is my job and I'm going to continue to talk about it. Just ask your man not to tweet about me and we have no problems. And it was understood.
So once you'd explain to her that you would actually were giving the O-line props, because you are my definition of giving them props for what they allegedly didn't do. Most people would look down upon. She all of a sudden didn't have a problem with you anymore.
And yeah, she didn't have a she. Yeah, it was like, oh, because she really thought that I was on the like, get rid of the offensive line. Look how horrible they're treating Derek Carr. No, sweetie, no.
No, we said they were the last Raiders left.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I was telling her. She goes, oh, I didn't know you were saying that. I'm like, yeah, she didn't. She was over it. She was like, okay, whatever. Do your job. Do you. She just thought I was taking a shot at her husband's offensive line.
Then that being the case, I'll lay off her and I'll lay off that offensive lineman because I got good tea on them too, and I'll just.
Yeah, I told her I was going to. I know you do. You know I know what you got. You right. know I know what you got. We just ain't going to put it on this podcast out of respect right. for the conversation that she and I had, because I did walk away from that. She did apologize and everything, and so we walked away from it clean, like grown women, and we have an understanding. So you
going to have to. And I can respect that. I mean, yeah. At the end of the day, they are human, and they don't mm-hmm. need their personal shit put out on blast. It's
but that's why you should know, be careful, because yeah. you just never yeah. know. What people know.
Right. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, that was that thing when she tweeted that you're out here trying to ruin people's lives.
Yeah.
I took a step back and said, whoa, 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 whoa. Listen, if you're talking about lives and families being ruined, Nico is the wrong person to be upset with right now.
Exactly.
Okay? That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Like, not me.
Back up. It just goes back to the whole theme of this conversation you and I are having since the very beginning. A lot of people are taking their shit out on you or myself.
When they have their own issues.
The guy look in the backyard. Yeah.
Look in the backyard. So, pull those blinds up and look in the backyard. Don't be coming over here. I'm not trying to destroy anybody's lives. I could destroy a whole bunch of people's lives if I said all the stuff I know. But what do I get out of that? Nothing.
Right.
I'm team player. I'm always doing my best to stay on the players' side, like support them, because I know the minute they do something bad, or even if they are accused of doing something bad, they're done. So why would I add to that? There's plenty of national media that wants to destroy these guys. I don't need to do it, you know?
100%. And anybody that's read your tweets knows you're a pro player. 100%.
Yeah. But let's move on from there. I want to ask you about some other NFL stuff before I get you out of here. Tyrod Taylor benched. Now it appears he might be getting benched again based on the press conference from the head coach. What are your thoughts on why Tyrod was benched, and the thoughts of them letting Peterman start again next week?
This is the NFL in a nutshell. I mean, they're a propaganda tool. You know, they are in, like, these are the owners of these teams are big billionaire titans of industry, and they do want to shape the way people think. And there's a reason most baseball, African-American baseball pitchers get moved to the outfield. At some point in their career, they're not pitching anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want black athletes to be the face of franchises. The quarterback's got to be white. The pitcher's got to be white. There are a lot of guys playing outfield right now in Major League Baseball that at one time were elite pitchers. It doesn't get talked about a whole lot, but there's a trend. And I'm bringing that example up because if it was a race issue, it wouldn't just be happening in football. Okay. Right. And it's not just happening in football. It happens in multiple sports.
Yeah.
So that's obvious what's happening. I mean, Tyrod Taylor's a good player. And when you really think about how hard it is, how short the leash is for a black quarterback.
Oh, my God. You make one mistake, you're done.
Right. So when he's showing, you know, when people say, well, he's got average stats, do you realize how impressive that is to have average stats as a black quarterback in the NFL when in the back of the coach's mind, they're constantly thinking, man, I wish this third-string guy that around for 8 years and played at USC. I really wish he could pull it together. He made that one good throw in practice and spring training. They're always thinking, what if, and how can I get that guy on the field? And they're fixated on the one or two little flaws that maybe the black quarterback doesn't do well. And when he's in year two or three, what quarterback isn't flawed? I mean, arguably the greatest quarterback in NFL history was John Elway.
Yeah.
And he played like a black quarterback. He was mobile, he was big, and he was tough. That guy doesn't have a career if he was black. He would have got moved to tight end. That's what I see with Tyrod Taylor. I mean, he's done it against all odds in Buffalo. It's been constant being messed with on the contract stuff. I'd say he's got to get out of there and find another team, but they're all the same. They're all pulling the same crap.
What do you think of the people that say Tyrod misses a lot of throws? They were the lowest at one. I know when we played them and they beat the Bucks, he had the least amount of completions. The receivers had the least amount of yards. It was just a run, throw every once in a while type of offense. But they were winning. So to me, I started to think about, well, if they're still winning and he's playing like this, why bench him now? Why would you bench him then? Like, who's not going to get beat by the Saints like that? Like, I just looked at that Saints score and I said, that's the Saints. They're gonna do that to a lot of people this year. So you're benching him because the Saints smacked them? Everybody's quarterback should get benched then, because Drew Brees has come through and whooped some ass all season. And I think to myself, I always go back to the money, because I think that they're saying, okay, you know what? If they thought that this was a – look, they got rid of everybody. They got rid of Sammy Watkins. They got rid of their running back. They kind of – it looked like they were, like, dumping everybody to rebuild. And what ended up happening is they started winning, and they were like, oh, shit, what if we start winning? And when the season's over, we got to – what are we going to do with him financially? Like, what do you do?
But if he was a white quarterback, they wouldn't care about what they were going to have to do with him financially.
They would
be finding a way to make it work.
Yeah,
because he'd sell a lot of jerseys.
Yeah, and then they bench him. The guy throws five interceptions in the first half, and they bring Tyrod in. Why'd you bring him back in? Why don't you just let this guy finish the season like you said you were going to do? What's the problem? Why? Why did you bring Tyrod in for what? Because now you're going to bench him again next week. What is the issue? It just doesn't make sense to me. And none of it makes sense, and always makes me roll back around to the fact that if, like look at Ryan Tannehill. Trash. Okay? Borderline trash.
Let's talk about the Ryan Tannehill example, because he is the prototypical example. I know y'all got your history, and it seems like you have an agenda with him, but this is the reality of it. Look, you were totally honest about how much that organization protected him.
Yeah.
And this doesn't happen just with him. It happens when they find a quarterback that they think, okay, this is the guy we can sell jerseys of the next 10 years. He looks good. And they did the same thing with Derek Carr.
Yeah.
They're going to get their garbage time stats late in blowouts early in their career. So that at the end of the season, they can say, hey, the guy's showing progress. When it counted, was he showing any progress? Was he keeping you in games? Not really. You know, and in practice, they're not going to go as hard with him. They're definitely not going to have a backup that can compete with him. They don't want anybody breathing down his neck, because they know it can mess with the psychology of a quarterback. They need to feel secure in their job. So why is it a black quarterback never gets to feel secure in their job?
Yeah. Why they bring in people all the time.
All constantly bring people. But they weren't going to do that to Ryan Tannehill. That was going to, quote unquote, mess up his development. And you can get on NFL Network, and you can get on ESPN, and you can hear pundits, and you can hear former players and former front office people, coaches, literally make that statement. They say it all the time. You don't want to mess with the player's development. Get a veteran in there that can teach him. Ride this out. Get better players around him. But they never make those sort of excuses for a black quarterback.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I see Tyrod Taylor do a lot more things right than do wrong. All right, and I've never seen anybody say, hey, we got to get him more talent around him. And like you're saying, they're in the playoff hunt. They're winning games, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl being horrible, scoring 13 points a game or something like that. But at the end of the day, I love using him as an example, because he's got a lot of closet racist issues himself.
Of course he does.
But from a football standpoint, he's actually, like, quite intelligent, and it speaks to the Ravens were never as good when they got rid of him. he was a very good leader in that locker room. Couldn't play quarterback, but he played the leadership position, which is a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Couldn't throw very well, but he did everything else that a quarterback needs to do exceptionally well. The way he ran the huddle, the way he ran the locker room. And you know what? That team rallied around him, believed in him, and did their jobs, and they won a Super Bowl because of it. And then they got rid of him because they wanted a guy that was better at all the stuff on the field once the ball snapped, but couldn't do any of the other stuff, and the team never got it back to the Super Bowl.
Right.
So you can win Super Bowls that way. And Trent Dilfer and Tyrod Taylor, as far as talent are concerned, aren't even in the same league. Right? Mm-hmm. Tyrod Taylor is a much better pure quarterback than Trent Dilfer ever was. So this situation is very obvious to me what's going on.
Well, you know what? I like that Richard Sherman says something. You know he's mouthy, and the fact that he's injured is going to be good, because I love when he tweets when he's just at home watching. You know, I hate injuries, but I don't mind him tweeting while he's injured. This is going to be fun. I can't wait for tomorrow, because you know they picked up – today. They picked up Maxwell to replace him. This is going to be funny. This is going to be – you know, the guy that's better than Brent, the Dolphin said, oh, better than Brent.
Right.
Yeah, he's back home in the Legion of Boom where he started.
Yeah, but
$50 million richer. But
you don't have Earl Thomas protecting him anymore.
You don't have help, and I'm hoping Matt Ryan and Julio Jones give me something to watch, because that is going to be very, very good football. Other football news. Ezekiel Elliott finally quits, which is what I've been begging him to do, is to just quit and accept the suspension. You're not going to win against Goodell. They've spent too much money to, you know, basically – I guess they call it investigation. I don't know why you have to investigate when the local police and detectives investigated, dropped the case. And then they had some actual NFL executives, NFL people investigate the situation, drop the case, because we all saw the emails of the girls plotting, you know, to hustle him out of money for a sex tape, all these things. There's no proof behind any of it yet. Roger Goodell is forcing this suspension. And it looks like that pretty much took the Cowboys out of any type of contention, in my opinion. Like, it just feels like they might be done. I mean, he comes back that Christmas game, but what are they going to be by then? Like, are they going to get passed up? Do you think they're going to win another game before he comes back?
I think they will. I think we're going to get to see what Dak Prescott's made of. You know, that offensive line's really, really good. Obviously, it's shaken up the locker room a little bit. Mm-hmm. Ezekiel Elliott's talented, don't get me wrong, but it's not like he's the heart and soul of that team.
No.
You know, he's got a lot of distractions in his life. He comes in, he does his job, but he's not that bad. It wouldn't surprise me if he was the running back from that old show Playmakers. I mean, he's very talented, but, you know, very young, and, you know, money's a kind of an amplifier. And fame, and you know, he's it's going to take a while for him to mature and get to a certain place in life where he's not, you know, finding himself in trouble. So when you lose a player like that, yeah, you lose some talent, but your whole team shouldn't just deflate. And this will be a learning experience for Dak, and you know, Dez Bryant's got to step up and fill more of the void. I'm more interested. I think they'll make the playoffs. I think he'll come back. I think they got decent running backs behind him. I think
they do.
Derek Kirkpatrick's got a little bit left in the tank. What I'm more interested in is this kind of a feud between Goodell and Jerry Jones.
Oh, God.
Is this real?
This is some good shit. Let me tell you. So I've talked to a lot of people that know the owners and NFL executives, and what they've told me is this is normal. They said the only thing not normal about this is that we know. There are lots of owners and people that get into it with Goodell in the NFL. Like, I'm talking about bad fallouts, fights, sometimes having to be broken up. Like, a lot of shit is happening in the billionaire war up there, up high where none of us are, the 1%ers. There's always fights like this. The problem that they have is Jerry Jones let all of us know. And people were like, And people were like, well, you know, the stuff that he's saying, you know, he's called Kraft a pussy and said he's a pussy. Like you said what he did to you. Can you imagine what I'm gonna do to you? I'm not a pussy. And I'm just like, this is so good. Like, I'm so glad that it's out there that these motherfuckers fight just like everybody else. And people were like, Jerry Jones has a right to criticize, you know,
everybody. So let me ask you, I mean, doesn't surprise me that they have their internal issues. Doesn't surprise me that they've always done a good job of keeping it in-house.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Jerry Jones let it go public is significant because he's not stupid. He's not a loose cannon. He's deliberately doing this.
Yeah.
The fact that he's pulled back the veil, that's very deliberate. That changes a lot of things. I mean, he's kind of like the new Al Davis. He's legitimately fighting with the league and going to make himself a pariah. I mean, is that where it's kind of going? He's gotten so big and powerful that he really doesn't care about the consequences?
I think that he wants to basically expose Goodell, because honestly, people were telling me from a long time ago, the only reason Jerry Jones wasn't tripping about this entire situation is because Goodell told him there would be no charges, that he would be fine. There's nothing here. You're good. And I feel like if he was lied to like that, then he's probably like, oh, well, fuck you. Like, you can't lie right to my face and fuck up my team. Like, it's one thing for you to lie about somebody, like another player. Like, even when Hardy got his suspension, Jerry Jones wasn't tripping. But I think it was the lie. I think that when you lie to him, that's where he is. It's personal. This was personal to him. And now he's like, you know what? You have more to lose than I do. So he put that contract. I'm sure he's the one that put that contract, the numbers out, that $50 million and the private jet for lifetime and the insurance and all this stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, would you like to have a Roger Goodell league or Jerry Jones type of league? That's what I was thinking about. And as a fan, I personally would probably want Jerry Jones, maybe. Only because.
Hands down.
Huh? Yeah, as a fan.
Hands down. Because at his core, he kind of always has been a player's owner.
Yeah.
I mean, he was one of the first to really take care of him, mm-hmm. you know, with the facilities and things like that. I mean, he's never shied away from paying people.
You'd want to be on his side, I feel like.
Real life soap opera.
This is fucking good, man. It can't even get better than this. But my question is, if Jerry Jones gets to question the league and how it's ran, how come the players can't? How come they can't question how it's ran and how things are done? Why can't they publicly say, like, that's what Jerry Jones said, I have the right to criticize the Roger Goodell, the commissioner. I have that right. So do the players have any rights? Do they have the right to criticize their owner or their GM or their coaches? No, they don't.
No, because they're the help.
You're the help. And that's what's so crazy. It's like you sit back and you...
But here's the thing. Like, I understand why the other owners would be upset. Keep this stuff in-house. There is PR value to that, mm-hmm. right? In the current climate of the NFL, as much turmoil is going on and they're getting peppered from every angle, you don't really need another thing to hit the news wire about how much problems there are going on. And so I get why the owners want to keep it in-house. And I also get why, if it's my football team or if it's my business, I don't want my employees going to the media to mm-hmm. complain about issues. You know, and just like if it's your family, you don't want issues going public. We're going to deal with it in-house.
Right.
The only time people go public is when they feel like they're not being heard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my back's against the wall. Now, players at this point, they're looking at it like, all right, well, you've always told us to keep it in-house, but when I do go to the coach's office, he don't want to hear it or he's going to cut me. Now, you guys are – it's the hypocrisy I have a problem with. The owners probably should keep this quiet if it was what's best for them. It's fun for us to watch, but from a business standpoint, you don't want to be doing that, you know. And right. But now Jerry's done that. You have to let the players do it.
Yeah.
You know, but it ain't good business. It's a good show for us, but long term, it's a distraction from the game on the field. You know, it's not smart. You know, even whether it's the players or not. You know, I've never faulted a player for going public because I know that ain't the first time they're complaining about something. They've exhausted all their other options and they're just not being heard at that point. And so they're just, they're ready to just, they're just frustrated. So.
Oh my goodness, man. This is getting interesting. I got to get your take on right now. We got 6 games left of the season, right? And right. I was wondering, because I had my early prediction, my beginning of the year before week one, all that I predicted, you know, Packers, Patriots, Super Bowl. And then my halfway point, I predicted Cowboys, Jaguars. That was about 3 weeks ago. And now, do you have any prediction? I'm just asking you just to see. Mine's going to change. I'm going to pick again probably in another 2 weeks. But do you have any Super Bowl predictions right now with 6 weeks left?
My philosophy is always to bet on coaches.
Oh, yeah, it's very smart.
Smart wins in playoff time.
Yeah.
You know, and you can win a game. You can steal a game. Bill Belichick doesn't go undefeated every year for a reason. Sometimes, you know, his guys don't get up for the game, and the other coach comes with a good game plan, and the ball bounces a certain way, and shit happens. But come playoffs, all that stuff gets exposed. If you're weak, if you got a flaw as a coach, it get exposed by that point, you know. And so I never really bet against Bill Belichick.
He is right.
One of the smartest guys, you know, in football, and he's typically always the smartest guy in the room or on the field. So that's the safe bet out of the AFC. In the NFC, the Cowboys were the team.
Yeah,
that was it. I mean, going down the list, who's a real smart coach in the NFC?
I like the Rams coach. He's young. We don't know anything about him, but I like that he's handling business. First year, he's changed the whole organization around. He's actually got me to like Goff. I don't know how he did that, but you know, I'm a Rams fan. I just can't be in public. But I hated Goff. I really hated him, and now I don't hate him anymore.
That coach is really good. Really good. Reminds me of John Gruden a lot. Wish we had him.
What about Minnesota? No,
Minnesota will never win anything.
New Orleans? It's Minnesota. I got some Ask Miko questions. People were asking me, can the Vikings get to the Super Bowl with a backup?
Hey, no. But New Orleans? Yeah, I could see a Patriots-New Orleans Super Bowl.
Patriots-New Orleans.
Sean Payton's a smart guy.
Yeah, he is.
They got the quarterback, they got the defense, they got the coach. That wins. I can't get behind the Rams. I know they've won you over with Goff, but I can't get over the Hard Knocks when he didn't know his east from his west.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's criminally stupid, man. And I go, man, that's your quarterback? That's the guy you got to rely on?
Yeah. You know?
But there have been a lot of dumb quarterbacks that have been good. I mean, Joe Montana is a great example of him. That guy wasn't smart. Couldn't hold a conversation. But when the lights came on, he had that it factor. I mean, one of the great quarterbacks of all time, Brett Favre, another guy. Went his whole career, didn't know the difference between a dime or a nickel defense. Mm. But, man, did he know how to sling the rock.
Yeah, you don't need to if you can do that.
Yeah. Now, maybe Goff has some sort of magic in him, and I just not giving it enough credit. And you give him, you know, obviously Joe Montana wasn't alone. He had the greatest receiver of all time. He had the greatest free safety of all time. He had Bill Walsh. He had great people around him. So what talent he did have, he could get away with being criminally stupid. You put that same talent around Goff, well, maybe he's capable of it. Maybe Sean McVay is that good of a coach. Todd Gurley's a great running back. They got good wide receivers. So, you know, maybe
you never know.
I would put more money on New Orleans, though. Yeah. New Orleans Patriots, yeah.
Well, let me see if I got any other questions for you. One of them you can help me with. Are the Vikings playing with their own success by trying to force Teddy Bridgewater back in while Case Keenum is playing really good?
Gosh. Yeah,
I never saw this out of Case. I never imagined this.
Because it's usually the other way around.
Yeah.
It's usually, you know, they're trying to get the white quarterback back on the field. So, you know, I wanted to think for a second before I answered this. But the answer is really simple. I hate it when teams do this. If you go with the hot hand. You go with that guy. There's a lot of examples in the past. The biggest ones, Rob Johnson and Doug Flutie. somebody took the Bills to the playoffs, and for whatever reason, they, you know, because the last game of the season when they'd already qualified, they started the backup, and he had a good game. They thought it'd be a good idea to play him in the playoffs. That was the guy they wanted all along, because Flutie, in their eyes, wasn't the long-term answer, and they got smoked. You know, and that was a team capable of going to a Super Bowl. The Vikings have done this in the past with Rich Gannon. The Kansas City Chiefs did it with Rich Gannon. Good quarterback, took multiple teams to the playoffs, got benched for the playoffs for no other reason than to put, you know, guys like that old USC quarterback. I can't remember his name. He's a total
Bradford?
No, I mean, he used to be on ESPN. He used to be on ESPN all the time. We're number 11 for USC. Horrible quarterback. I'm drawing a blank, but I digress.
I don't know.
You got to go with Case Keenum.
Just ride the hot hand.
Ride the hot hand. It ain't fair to Keenum. It ain't fair to Bridgewater. It ain't fair to the rest of the locker room.
Because then what happens if Bridgewater comes back and shits the bed? Then you put Case back in like, sorry, we were kidding. Go ahead and finish winning.
Because here's how you should evaluate certain situations like this. What's worst case scenario? Worst case scenario, Case Keenum loses in the playoffs. Okay, so what? You could have that could happen with any quarterback, but you can justifiably say, hey, I ran with a hot hand. If you put Bridgewater in, worst case scenario is he loses in the playoffs, and everybody thinks you're an idiot. Everybody goes, why did you do that? Everybody's going, what if with Keenum? Nobody's really going to say what if with Bridgewater.
No.
You know, because – so and I think Bridgewater is a decent QB.
Yeah, he's
so
decent.
So you got to go with the hot hand.
Go with the hot hand.
No matter what, and not just in public. They got to do it behind closed doors. They got to believe it. The coaches, after everybody from the owner all the way down has to go, we're going with Keenum. And I don't care if he shits the bed the final two games of the regular season and they limp into the playoffs. You got to
take
never waver
hand.
In your belief. You never, even if he's not the hot hand, you've got to believe in your player. A lot of fans don't understand this. The difference between a pro athlete and a non-pro athlete, and we're talking people with elite genetics, okay? Take a genetics aside. There's a small percentage of the population that would only ever qualify for playing pro sports, and they have the prerequisite genetics. But you can go to LA Fitness, you can go to the, you know, the Venice Beach courts, and you can see a lot of guys that have the genetics, all right? And what is the difference, you know, between the two? Oftentimes, it's confidence. What a lot of these guys are riding a high of confidence and a self-belief in themselves that allows them to do really extraordinary things. You never want to mess with a player's confidence. It is a performance-enhancing drug. It's every bit, if not more, powerful than taking steroids. That was Michael Jordan. I mean, yes, he had all the physical traits, but what was the difference between him and Larry Bird? Between the years, they're the same player. They're both cocky as hell. They both talked a lot of trash. They both understood the game. They're both super competitive. And Jordan's physical abilities made him Jordan, but they both had this unbelievable belief in themselves. Because Larry Bird maybe wasn't the best physical specimen, but that confidence he had, you know, propelled him to be one of the top players of all time. So I'm a big believer in coaches. You got to believe in your player. If Case is your guy, stick with him.
Stick with him. Okay. Well, Raider, Bounty, I'm so glad we never told these motherfuckers your name, because they would have been coming at you. Props to us for that, for getting in front of that. Who knew this was going to happen? But I also wanted to wish you guys good luck on your move and the new baby and everything that you have going on, and also tell you thank you once again for coming on with me and educating some motherfuckers and having a good time at the same damn time.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you. And this summer, when the season's over, in the spring, when you're out in LA, let's play some tennis and let's do a live show together.
Oh, definitely. For sure. I'm having a Super Bowl party too, so if you want to come, let me know. At my house in LA.
I wasn't going to watch it, but
you don't have to watch at my house. We have a lot of other stuff going on. Half people, a lot of the girls don't watch at all. Like, they're like, what is that? Anyway, where's the food? Where's the drinks?
Count me in, if for nothing else than to piss off all of Raider Nation because they know I'll be at your side at your party.
Yes. All right. Thank you. And you have a good day.
All right. You too.
All right. Peace. Bye. Shout out Raider Bounty, always bringing it every single time. I hope Raider, whoever you guys are no longer Raider Nation. You guys are Bigot Nation. That's what we're going to call you now. And I hope you listen to this one since you didn't listen to the podcast on October 9th when he told me all the shit that I didn't tell you guys, idiots. But I love when he comes on because he comes from an organic place. He's just going to say exactly what it is. And if you mad, you just mad. And he's not even black. That's the craziest part about it. He ain't black. He's cool, though. He a cool-ass guy. He knows his shit. He knows what he's talking about. And if you have any issues with it, oh, fucking well. Oh, well. I never care about people's feelings. You know why? Because my podcast is enforced on you. You don't have to follow me. You don't even have to care about what I write. But the minute you come in my mentions talking shit, I'm going to flame your ass. And then I'll probably block you. And some of you guys, I actually didn't block you. I just muted you because I love that you're talking to yourself. That shit is funny to me. Like, I look in my mentions and see somebody tweeting me for like 2 days straight, no answer. What a fucking loser you are. Like, you're still going to keep following and commenting on every tweet that I write and calling me a bitch and calling me all these nigger and coon and ratchet ghetto hoe. All these people saying that I wouldn't, if I hadn't met Brent, I would probably be living in the ghetto somewhere. Are you guys retarded or something? Are you slow? Are you slow? Do you not know that I was a professional basketball player? Did you not know that I had a radio job and a sideline reporting job before I even knew Brent Grimes existed? What is wrong with you? You think that every woman that's married to an athlete didn't have anything going on in her life until she met him? That's your problem. You're mad. So if I start to assume things about you, don't get mad. Because I'm going to just assume you're racist. I'm going to assume you have no life and you live in your mom's basement and you're tweeting there, using up all her Wi-Fi, drinking up all the drinks and writing your name on the orange juice because you're a fucking loser. Only a fucking loser comes into somebody's mentions and says all the stupid, disrespectful things that a lot of you guys said. So don't get mad when I don't care about your feelings either. Don't get mad if I attack your kids. You attack me, I might say something about your ugly-ass kids. That's on your social media, so deal with it. People talk about my son all the time. I don't give a fuck. You can't do nothing about it. My son has more money than all you motherfuckers in his trust. I'm sure. So fuck you. And to everybody else that doesn't have a problem with it, I love you. I love all of you guys. We're all cool. We're having a good fucking time. I hate that our good time is over, though. We was having so much fun. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. I had a blast. It was fun shitting on Raider Nation. It was fun shitting on the Dolphins. Not fun shitting on the players or the people that fuck with me in Miami. Like, it's a lot of people that work for the Dolphins that still fuck with me. It's some cops that I still fuck with that work for the Dolphins. Their security. I fuck with y'all. We cool. I love y'all. The fans, you bitch ass fans, Tannenbaum, Ross, eat a dick. Peace. Ich stürze zu.